I'm Leanne Tran, psychologist who's worked with families whose kids don't fit the mold for almost 20 years. I've worked with children for decades, but I know parents are the real change makers when it comes to their kids. Having three kids of my own means I know it's not easy. Parent Like a Psychologist is all about simplifying how you support your kids with psychology information filtered through years of experience to take you from overwhelmed to confident. Come on in. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me again for another podcast episode. I talked recently with Alicia Griffiths from Breakaway Education. She's a tutor, runs a tutoring center, has been a teacher in the past. Well, I guess tutoring still is teaching, so, you know, still is an educator. And she gave some really great advice about what parents can do to help their kids and explained a lot about the tutoring process. It made me think, though, that sometimes as parents, we don't know how to tell when our kids need some help. And it's something I hear a lot from parents, which is, how do you know if your child's having learning difficulties? So that's what I wanted to go through today. There are a load of things that you can look out for. And it's not so much about behaviors themselves, but maybe your child and whether you're noticing some differences. So I want to talk a lot about that, the signs for when a child's having learning challenges. But I'm also going to talk a little bit about what might be the expectations that are typical for an age range so that you can get a sense of where your kids may be academically in terms of their learning. And sometimes that's a little bit of a guide as to whether they might need some extra help or not. So where to begin? I guess there's lots of kind of emotional signs about if kids are having difficulty with learning. Sometimes it's about their behavior as well. And that might be in terms of what you see with in the classroom or with friends or with their listening. And sometimes it's actually about the tasks themselves. So there's a few areas to look at and I'll go over them in the next few minutes. So thanks for hanging in there with me. First, I guess I wanted to talk about the emotional parts. So what you might notice a lot at times, maybe after school when you're helping your child with their homework or you're watching them react to being asked to do homework, is the emotional side of things. So one of the signs might be frustration and even avoidance of homework or learning activities. So think of this as in terms of, I guess, the two ways you can notice all of this stuff is either if you're noticing it at home or if your teachers are getting in touch with you and reporting that this is what your child's like. So if either you or the teacher is noticing this stuff, then it could be a clue to look further. So I mentioned frustration and avoidance. This is a sign, I guess, that so that's in response to academic tasks. So your child's either showing that they're frustrated at it or they're really just trying to get out of it or avoid it as much as possible. That means that your child might find the task really challenging. Or there might be other aspects to learning that they're finding really tough. And an example of that might be sustaining or keeping their attention. So sometimes it's not the academic task itself, but it's the fact that you have to maintain your attention on it that can be difficult for kids. So some avoidance type things you might see in the classroom. And when I say see, I mean obviously teachers see it and would report it back to you. Things like needing to go to the toilet a lot, that's a great avoidance strategy. And I've seen kids do it in assessment with me as well. It reaches the bit where they've tried for a bit and it's getting a bit tough. And, is there a toilet here? I need to go to the toilet. it's a great way to avoid and get out of the situation. So other things might be, I don't have the right pencil. I need to like get that. I need to make sure it's sharp and I don't have a rubber. So things like that can be avoidance strategies as well. Another thing could be then low self-esteem is what we might call it. And so you might see that as kind of like feelings of not being good enough or being dumb or that kind of thing. And so talking about academic tasks in a way that kind of views them, your child, as in a negative light is what we're talking about with that low self-esteem. And so it might mean that they're really struggling with the learning and then their perception of themselves is suffering as a result. They're not feeling confident. And so then they're kind of internalizing that as something not great about themselves. So frustration or avoidance, that low self-esteem as well. I think so emotions is one part of it. And then as I mentioned, there's also like there's a child's approach to learning and academic tasks as well. So emotions are the feelings, their approach to it might be their thought process about what schoolwork is like. And so as part of that, there might be this real lack of interest in learning, whether that's for homework. I mean, like to be honest, lots of kids don't enjoy doing homework. So what you've really got to look for is consistent patterns over time. So lack of interest in doing homework, even that you think maybe is in an area they might be really interested in, or it's something new and motivating. It might mean that then, they're struggling to understand the material and they're struggling to learn and connect with it, which means then they're just not interested in it. How this might flow on to school is that you might have your child seems not that interested to go to school anymore. They don't want to do it. Or it might be that you're hearing stories like, I just want to go to see my friends or play with my friends. I hate being in class. So it's the difference between some of the, less academic parts of school versus how they approach time in the classroom. Another thing can be then difficulty with completing tasks. So that might be that your child has trouble getting all of their homework done, or in school, the teacher's reporting that they're struggling getting their tasks finished. And I guess what that means is, it might mean that there are underlying challenges or difficulties in keeping organized, knowing how to get started in a task, or maybe even knowing how to know when you're finished or something's complete. And so all of those things might be signs of executive functioning challenges, which will impact your child's learning. Or they could just be because the actual learning is really difficult that children can't complete it in the time frame. So for parents, a great guideline is that if teachers are saying, here's the homework, it should be taking 15 to 20 minutes a night, and your child's spending hours on it, that's not lining up. So that's a cause to maybe contact the teacher and ask more about whether they're struggling in class, whether they're struggling with the work or keeping themselves organized. Another thing too is like resistance to doing homework. So I think I mentioned before that, well, I think I mentioned, I know it was just now. Before I was talking about that reluctance to do homework, but this is probably beyond that. It's kind of the resistance to doing it. So really flat out refusing to do it, not interested, won't even sit down. And that I think shows that, there's something going on underneath that. It might be something else. It might just be that your child just really needs to move and eat after school. It might mean they really need some downtime. But what it might also mean is that schoolwork's really difficult, and so they just don't want to do more of it. So that's something to keep in mind as well. What have we talked about so far? The emotional side of things, and then the thinking or the approach that kids take towards their schoolwork. The other thing I think is probably about their performance or the outcomes associated to schoolwork and homework. So that might mean that your child does things inconsistently sometimes. That could be a sign that there are learning challenges as well. So if the biggest big picture one, I guess, is if there are subjects they seem to do fine in and they're meeting the standards, passing the grades, but there's a particular subject area that's not up to that same level. And that might indicate, well, yeah, it's indicating that there's something really challenging about that subject matter. And so it might mean that there's learning challenges there that indicate a learning disorder, or it might just mean that your kid's aptitude for other things is better and they just need a little bit of extra time and support and attention to get themselves up to speed. So big picture wise, if there's some subjects or areas of the curriculum they seem to be really struggling with, that could underlie some learning difficulties. Sorry, that could indicate underlying learning difficulties. On a smaller level, I guess it might be things like in particular subject areas. So English is a great example of a subject that requires lots of different mini skills. So if your child's doing okay in English overall, but you notice something like their spelling's really difficult, or that they seem to understand what they read or when you read to them, but they just can't get any of the words, that can indicate some learning difficulties as well. Or it might be the other way around, that kids can read stuff and but they don't seem to be able to understand what they've read. So those inconsistencies might lead or point towards some skill gaps, like Alicia was talking about in that last episode. Or it could mean that there's some things that are more tricky because of the way the learning takes place. So looking for all of these clues in through inconsistency can be really helpful. The other thing is, I guess, the progress over time. So if you're noticing that your child's putting in lots of effort, but their progress is going really slow, that could be an indication that they're finding school really hard as well. It might mean that they're reading every night, they enjoy reading, they're trying really hard, but their reading levels aren't progressing. I want to always say here, you know, that kids progress at their own rates. And I think that often the competition that can be there in the schoolyard's not helpful, but really it's just about thinking, you know, watch what your child does. And if it seems like they're just putting in so much effort and not getting very far, then that's something to really be curious about and to find out more. It might mean that they need extra support or some assessment to help understand for them why it's so effortful, and whether there are other ways that kids can be taught. So we've talked about emotions, we've talked about the thoughts or approach to learning, we've talked about the progress over time. And then a couple of other things might be just the impact it's having on their day-to-day life. And so under that, it might be that you might have behavior challenges in the classroom. And so acting out, disruptive behavior, or you know, those avoidance tactics can be a sign that things are tricky at school. And that's usually with the learning. So if you're hearing behavior challenges in class, just be really curious about what's underlying that again, because, you know, behavior is something that usually serves a purpose. And so if kids are acting out, it's either because they're feeling uncomfortable or they're finding things hard and they're just trying to cope and manage and get through the day. So don't be too quick to think, view that behavior in a negative light. Try to really understand it. And if you look at what's underneath, it could be some learning challenges. And the other thing too is that, we mentioned the emotions before. Sometimes if learning challenges lead to big emotions like frustration or feeling bad about themselves, kids will act that out as well. So trying to be really understanding rather than, towing a firm line about what's okay and what's not okay is a better way to understand what's going on for your kid. The other thing too, it could be is that could be a sign is that social withdrawal as well. So learning challenges can have an impact on how kids feel in relation to others. Sometimes they're looking around and other people seem to be getting it and they're not. So they can be reluctant to join in group activities at school. So if your teacher's mentioning that any group activities your child doesn't want to do, that could be part of it. Sometimes it can lead to social withdrawals at other times, like in breaks and other activities, because your child's just not feeling confident about being at school. So watch out for, those times when other things, other areas of your child's life is not going so well. So behavior in the classroom or social interactions at school as well. I think probably there's one last little area I wanted to talk about, which is about something that I commonly hear parents talk about. Let me just check my notes to make sure I've gone over everything else. I think I have. So the last one I really wanted to talk about was difficulty following instructions. And I think this is a great example of when it's the behavior we see, like a child not following instructions, but we need to look at what's underlying it to truly understand what they're having difficulty with. So if kids are having trouble following instructions, what you might see is that they don't do what they're told or what they're asked to do. Might be at school, might be at home, it might be both. Often parents will describe this as like they just don't listen. Or, which is kind of assuming that when parents say they don't listen, what they really mean is they don't listen and then do what they've been asked to do. And so often, if I'm hearing parents say that they just don't listen or they don't follow instructions, I'm really curious to understand why. And that's because one of the biggest things in an instruction is language. So kids need to be able to understand what's being said to them. The other thing that's involved is attention. To be able to follow an instruction, kids need to pay enough attention to hear you out fully. And then it's also executive functioning as well. So kids need to pay attention to the instruction, understand it, and then have the ability to execute the task. So that means remembering the instruction, going over, getting started and finishing it, not becoming distracted halfway through. And so if your kid's having trouble following instructions, be really curious about whether it's, and check in with the teacher because teachers are a great resource because given that they've got lots of kids of the same age, so they can tell you if your child's having more trouble than other kids in this area, or whether they're about on par. And so lots of those things feed into learning, the language, attention, and executive functioning. So if your kid's having trouble with that, it's finding out more about it is going to really help you understand their experience of learning. So when we think about that, then I wonder if you notice those things in your children. If you do, the first thing I think is talking with the teacher about it and seeing what they think. You can get a guide as to where they're going academically. And then also consider whether there's some support teachers can put into place for that. And then seeing how your kids respond to the support can really highlight too whether it's a learning area they just need some more help with, or whether it's a more significant challenge than that, and you need to see somebody for an assessment to help you understand it more so that you can work out what's the best support for your child. So some of the things I wanted to run through really briefly now are what might be typical for kids at a certain age. So reading, writing, arithmetic, as it used to be called in my, or not, you know, called, but referred to in my grandparents' day, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. So it's reading, writing, and mathematics are usually the basics in terms of learning. When our kids are first learning, I'll go through them in order. So reading first. Reading at the preschool age was around 3 or 4. Kids are starting to recognize some letters of the alphabet and be able to name them. They can participate in simple rhymes and stories and enjoy that, and understanding that, you know, print or words in a book carries a message. By the time they're in, it's probably actually like into prep now, age 5 to 6, you might even be into grade 1. Identifying and sounding out simple words, recognizing basic sight words. Anyone who's experienced that, you know, when you're with your kids in the car and they suddenly say, "That says stop," and you're like, "Oh my gosh, you can read. It's so amazing." And understanding the concept of something like the beginning and the middle and the end of a story. So they're just starting to get the basics around literacy. 7 to 9 years old, they might be reading simple sentences and short paragraphs. They're understanding information from a text, and starting to explore things like different genres. Middle school, they're reading and understanding more complex texts. I realize middle school is not something we use here, but for me, what I think of it is like late primary school, maybe into that year 7 range. They're analyzing characters, plots, and themes in books, and developing critical thinking skills through reading comprehension. So it gives you a guide as to what to expect. With writing, when kids are little, like 3 and 4, they're scribbling and making marks on paper. They're learning to hold a pencil, or pen, crayon, some kind of writing implement. They might attempt to write some letters in their name, and they might start saying, you know, telling thoughts or stories to an adult. When they've entered school, they start writing their name independently. So from 5 to 6, forming letters and simple words, creating short sentences with some basic punctuation, so maybe just a full stop. As kids get through those probably early to middle years of primary school, they'd be able to write a paragraph with a topic sentence, use descriptive language to enhance writing. So rather than, you know, the cat, whatever. They're talking about describing the cat, and editing and revising their own work for things like grammar and spelling. As they get older through the upper primary to early high school, writing longer essays with structure to their writing, like an introduction, the body, and the conclusion. Applying some more advanced grammar and punctuation rules. And incorporating some research and evidence into their writing. For mathematics, when kids are little, 3 or 4 years old, they're counting up to 10 or more objects, recognizing and naming basic shapes, square, circle, understanding simple patterns, might be alternating colors or something like that. For when kids are around 5 or 6, they getting up to 20 with their counting, understanding basic addition and subtraction, and recognizing and comparing numbers. One thing about math to note too is that there's a difference between being able to rote learn the numbers, so that's counting, but then number sense is another skill. So really being able to understand something like, you know, that four is one more thing than three, and that kind of thing. Throughout mid to late, sorry, mid, early mid primary school, mastering addition and subtraction of 2 and 3 digit numbers, understanding and applying math, sorry, multiplication and division, and solving basic word problems in math. For the higher grades, then working with fractions and decimals and percentages, applying mathematical concepts to solve more complex word problems, and then understanding basic algebra like equations and variables and that kind of thing. And I know this hasn't gone so much into high school because I think at the point of high school, I think I'd be a lot more inclined to ask your teachers about where kids are up to because the curriculum moves a lot more quickly in high school. And so I think talking about the specific concepts your child seems to know versus struggle with is a more helpful approach than just these general benchmarks. So you can see how things build through the curriculum as well. So I think it's really important to be mindful of how your child's going with their learning, because the earlier you can detect any challenges and put some support in place, the better. So oftentimes there's support that teachers can put in place to help your kids grasp concepts, or if they're having real challenges, to try to teach them in different ways so that that works more for their brain wiring. Why it's important is because then the curriculum builds each year. So the earlier you can get support, it means your child's then not struggling with things and then having to build on those challenges. Sorry, having to learn more in those areas that are challenging them year on year. The other thing too is that we've mentioned a bit about the social side of things, or more the emotional side of things. And the earlier you can support a child, the better, because they might then not go down that path of developing that low self-esteem or developing anxiety about being in class or not wanting to go to school. And in my mind, I think that then you've got the problem, which is the learning challenge, and you've got an extra problem on top, which is the emotional reaction. So the earlier you can kind of try and support, understand, and support your child's learning, the better. So I know Alicia talked a lot last time about what parents can do to help. So refer back to that episode if you haven't had a listen. But I hope today really gives you a sense of how to know if your child's struggling with learning challenges. Please let me know if you have questions based on this, because I'm sure if you do, other people do as well. So you can talk to me at hello@leantran.com.au. And when I do get questions, that's something I can use to create an episode later to answer the can you know the wonders you have wonders answer the questions you have, and also let other people benefit from that as well. So thanks for hanging in there today with me, and I look forward to talking to you a little bit more about learning soon. Thanks for listening to this episode of Parent Like a Psychologist. If you found it helpful, please share on Instagram so other parents can benefit too, and tag me at Leanne Tran Psychology so that I can say a big thank you. Head over to leannetran.com.au to join the village for bite-sized psychology tips straight to your inbox. I really hope this podcast has brought a new perspective and you a step closer towards a calm parent and a thriving child. Have a delightful day.